Good morning. It's Ashley with another Hampton Roads Perspective, and today I'm sitting here with Kim from Bully Advocate and Rescue Collective, known as BARC.
Yes.
Correct? Okay. And how are you doing today, Kim?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. What is BARC and their mission?
BARC is a pit bull type dog rescue, and we pull medically needy dogs from rural shelters that don't have the resources or the funding to treat them. And, you know, they're almost always behaviorally sound, so they just need that extra help medically. So we pull them into foster homes, get them medically all fixed up, and then adopt them out.
Now, what is your role specifically with BARC?
So I'm just a BARC representative, and I'm also a foster mom. So I always have a rotating foster dog or two in my house.
I've noticed, because we're Facebook friends, yes, you always go for like the older dogs. I see that's like your thing. Is there a reason why?
Yes, because they're often overlooked, and especially because, you know, they've been through it. They've been sick or ailing for a long time, and I feel like they deserve a shot, because a lot of people, when they go to adopt a dog,
they want the older ones, yeah.
You know, the puppies, and that's fine. But also, I don't necessarily love puppies. I like dogs that just come inside and they're like, hey, there's a bed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to lay in it.
Potato dogs.
Yeah. That's all. And they're just grateful to be inside and have regular food and water and get fixed up. So I always gravitate towards those.
So how did you get started doing this?
What I initially started doing, well, my daughter actually got me started in it at the ripe old age of 5. Yeah, we were at an event, and she found a bucket for donations for a rescue here locally, and she carried the bucket around for the rescue and raised like $500.
Oh my gosh.
Because she was cute and 5.
Yeah.
And everybody was, you know, giving
Give me
her,
your money.
Yeah, and they're like, okay. And then after that, I started volunteering at the local Virginia Beach shelter, and I didn't know anything about pit bull type dogs, just from, you know, what I saw on the news or online. And I just realized that they're literally just like any other dog. Mm-hmm. They're just dogs, and they deserve that extra push because they have such a bad reputation in the community. So
now, you say you foster these dogs. What all does fostering entail?
What a foster would do is basically just take the dog in their house and see it through until they're ready for adoption. The rescue pays for all the vetting, all the food, all the toys, anything the dog needs, the rescue pays for, and we rely on donations, you know, from the public. All you have to do is open your home and see it through until they're ready to be adopted. Sometimes it can be a week. Sometimes if they're sick, it can take a few months. So you just have to be aware that it could be a little while.
Do you ever get attached to any dogs and you don't want to find them their forever home? You want to be their forever home?
Yes, all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be a hoarder.
Yeah.
So that keeps me from doing that. But I've actually only adopted, so I've probably had 30, 40 dogs come through my house over the years, and I've only adopted 3. The most recent one was Ham. He is a grouchy old man, but he came in and just fit right in, and I thought, why move him again?
Yeah.
Because he's old. So, but other than that, I've done pretty well, but always, I always get attached.
So why do you guys focus solely on pit bull type dogs? I know you mentioned a little bit the reputation they have, you see online or you see in the media. You know, is there any other reasons why?
Mostly because they make up, I would say, 90% of dogs in shelters. And they're probably not all pit bulls, but if they're labeled a pit bull, it's a pit bull. And, you know, it's kind of a blanket term for, I would say, 10 breeds. So if it's labeled a pit bull in a shelter already, it needs that extra help. So that's why, because they need it the most, really.
Now, where do the dogs come from?
So we do just area shelters, usually country shelters. So we pull a lot from the Suffolk City shelter.
Locally?
Yeah, locally. Okay. I would say within a few hours. We don't do outside of that because there's so much need here locally. North Carolina is pretty bad for pit bull type dogs being in bad shape. So Hampton Roads and northeastern North Carolina, those areas.
And how do you decide which dogs to take into rescue?
So it depends on the foster home that's available. So sometimes we need a dog to be good with cats. We need them to always be great with people or other dogs. It just depends on the foster home, what they specifically need. So we'll go and we'll meet, the shelters will reach out and we'll meet with a few dogs, and whichever one fits best is the one that we'll pull into rescue.
Are there any requirements to be a foster?
Just that all of the animals in your home are vaccinated, you know, up to date on all their vaccines, altered, meaning spayed or neutered. And really, that's it. You just have to want to open your house and see it through, because a lot of times there's hiccups at first. So, you know, the dogs might not get along at first, or, you know, you just never know until you get them in the home. But usually all that stuff kind of irons itself out within a couple weeks. You just have to kind of give them time to decompress. But really, that's it.
What would you like the public to understand about pit bull type dogs?
That they're not any different from any other dog. Pit bulls have such a reputation for being born inherently dangerous, and that's just not the truth.
You see all these people online saying, you know, oh, pit bulls are known for this and that, and it's just not true.
It's not. and they consistently, you know, on the American temperament test, they consistently score highest, you know, right up there with labs and golden retrievers and those, you know, typically what people would consider family type dogs. But pit bulls are family dogs, you know, and that's such a common misconception. And also what I want people to understand is that pit bull is not an actual breed anymore. It's just like an umbrella term for a medium-sized, short-coated dog.
I like what you said earlier, blanket term.
It is.
Yeah.
And, you know, if people were to do, there's times when I have a foster and I'm like, there's no way this is a pit bull, but it's labeled a pit bull. And I always say, if something happens and it ends up on the news, it'll be a pit bull regardless. So, but you really can't, just from a science standpoint, you can't really say pit bulls are dangerous, because it's not even a real breed anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they've been so overbred and mixed with other breeds, and it's just not, it just doesn't make sense.
Just be called dog.
Exactly. Dog. A terrier dog.
Yeah.
I think that's about it. Just that they're not any different than other dogs, and also that they are a product of their environment. And I hear people all the time, and it's people that are trying to advocate for pit bulls, and they always say it's all in how they're raised. And that is also not true, because every dog almost that we've had come through the rescue over the years, you know, has not been raised well. They've been outside. They've been abused. A lot of them are cruelty cases. Mm-hmm. You know, come from fighting backgrounds. And these dogs go on to go in foster homes and be wonderful companions who go through their whole lives without any hiccups. So it's really, they're a product of their environment.
Yeah.
It's not their past. It's not their breed. It's not how they're raised. So that I wanted to say.
Would you say that genetics play a role in behavior in dogs?
I would. I think nature versus nurture is a real thing. So I think if you have two aggressive dogs, like let's say you have two dog aggressive dogs, I think if you breed those two dogs together, I think they probably will have puppies that are, you know, born to tend to be aggressive with other dogs. I do believe, you know, nature plays a part in things like that, but I also believe that human intervention can fix that and change it. So really, the problem doesn't lie with the pit bulls, it lies with the community.
And that's where you guys kind of come in to help.
Right.
To help in a way. So how can listeners help Bark?
Donations are always welcome, because we do pull medically needy dogs. They are so busted when they come in. And so
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I love seeing the photos of like the befores afters of dogs coming in through your home. Like, it makes
crazy.
Me get all my pregnancy hormones are at a high right now. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, oh my God, well, look at what Kim's doing.
It's so awesome. And that's why we do it for the before and after, because even their mental state, like, you know,
you could just see it in their eyes.
They're so broken and so sad. And then it only takes a couple weeks. And what blows my mind is that it literally just takes medical care, food and water, and a house. You know, it's not even, you know, people think like, people say all the time, how do you do it? It's so like, it's really not hard. You just got to
be a responsible pet owner.
That's it. That's all you got to do. And I love the before and afters. And there's so many. And we would love the public to get more involved. We need foster homes mostly, because we can't pull dogs if we don't have a home
to put them in.
And donations for their medical care. And Bark specifically, Maria, who owns the rescue, she makes sure every single cent is accounted for and goes exactly where it needs to go. She's a 501c3, and she keeps detailed records all of it. I mean, she's wonderful, and she does not let a single cent go to waste. So,
do you guys have a lot of fundraising events?
So we do events online. Like, we'll have events online where we fundraise. We do local events, but it's more like we add a booth on to a local event.
Okay.
So, you know, Bark in the Park or any type of event that pets are welcome, we'll set up a booth there. And we usually put it on the Bark Facebook page before we come. And we almost always bring a few of the adoptable dogs.
So you guys are on Facebook, correct?
Yes.
And it's under Bark or?
Bully Advocate and Rescue Collective.
And what about a website?
www.barkdogs.org. And if you're interested in fostering, there's a foster application on the website. There's adoption applications on the website and a donate via PayPal. And if you're interested in donating to a specific dog, you can put that in the notes, too, because people ask that all the time. They see a dog online that they want to donate.
To specifically donate
right,
to.
And you can do that, too.
I also made it easy for our listeners. You can text the word BARK, B-A-R-C, or if your phone autocorrects it to B-A-R-K, it's totally fine. Either one of those. To 757-104, you'll get a link sent straight to your phone on all the information about BARK, how you can help, how you can donate, foster applications, everything you need can be sent to your phone. Kim, what is the most rewarding thing about working with BARK?
The after, when the dog comes in and they're so just broken down and sad and you can see that life has beaten them down. And then when you see it all the way through to their forever home, and they get adopted, and then you get updates weeks, months, years later. That's the most rewarding part because you know that this is a dog that would have died in a shelter otherwise.
And is there anything that you'd like to leave with Hampton Roads today?
Give pit bull type dogs a chance if you haven't. Experience it before you assume that they're different than other dogs. And always, Bark is here to educate. We don't judge people. We don't get angry when people say things. We really want to educate people that they're not different than any other breed of dog. And that's about it.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.